Well, starting tomorrow, the cost of doing business in California will go up for many companies producing carbon emissions. The state's new environmental law, AB 32, goes into effect on the 1st. It's a cap-and-trade system that mandates that some 350 companies begin paying for the carbon dioxide they emit. They'll start off with allowances for a certain percentage of their emissions, but that allowance goes down over the years. The hope is that, parallel to that, companies will feel forced to reduce emissions. But might they just pack up and leave or pass the cost on to consumers? Felicity Barringer is following all this for The New York Times. Felicity, we've covered cap and trade before. It can get complicated. And this law affects different industries in different degrees. So first of all, how does it work? And it involves a sort of marketplace.
That's right. It involves a marketplace. It's one of a suite of options that the state is using to try to get its greenhouse emissions down. But this is kind of the bedrock option for them. The first cap-and-trade program started in New England a few years ago, but it covers only the electric utilities. The California program is going to cover industries all across the economy. As you said, there are hundreds of companies involved. There are millions of workers involved. And the mechanism they use is to give out a certain number of allowances to every factory covered by this program and then allow a market to be created whereby companies trade these allowances. The companies that are more energy efficient and emit less carbon dioxide are going to have an advantage because they won't need necessarily as many allowances as they're given. Some companies that are less efficient may find that the allowances they are given are not going to cover their emissions. And so effectively, you have people start to trade between the more energy efficient, able to gain money by selling allowances, and the less energy efficient having to spend money by buying allowances. And what it does essentially is to say, we want you to either cut your emissions or do something that will allow emissions to be cut elsewhere, which will overall lower the amount of emissions that California puts out.
It's almost like buying and selling stocks. And so let's give an example, because you write about the Morningstar company. They have three plants in California, and they turn tomatoes into ketchup and spaghetti sauce. You write that they emit 200,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide. They'll be given an allowance, but what's left over after that allowance, they have to then go buy credits from somebody else, somebody who's not over their limit.
That's correct. And for them, they feel that they work in an industry where there are incredibly narrow profit margins. Tomatoes are a commodity business, and I certainly didn't realize till I started reporting this story, roughly 95% of the tomato products consumed in this country comes from California's Central Valley. So all those processors of tomatoes that turn them into the raw material that makes everything that ends up in our pantries, that takes energy. It takes energy to move the tomatoes through the plant, takes energy to heat them to the right heat, and there are different heats for different end products. And obviously it takes energy in terms of the trucks to bring them from the fields to the plants. Morningstar is going to have to account for all of the emissions associated with this energy. And to the extent that they are judged not necessarily to be as efficient as the best in class in their industry, they will get slightly less allowances. To the extent they have to find and pay for new allowances to cover their emissions, they are going to pass that cost on to the consumer, their spokesman told me.
Yeah, so you write it's about maybe $75,000 they're going to have to pay, you know, buying these credits on the open market. And they're going to pass that cost on. Does that mean the cost of tomatoes and sauce is going to go up?
I know that's what they believe is going to happen. One thing that is important here is that Morningstar is, you know, an industry that's considered moderately endangered by this rule. That is to say, where there's a moderate risk that they could leave the state.
Because as you write, where are they going to go? The tomatoes are in California, so they're not an extreme flight risk because they sort of have to stay where the tomatoes are. But you also write that Morningstar is a company that is looking to innovate. So in addition to saying that they're going to have to pass some costs on, are they also saying, but we're going to try our hardest to try to innovate so that we don't have to buy those credits?
They certainly understand that innovation is one option, but Morningstar, like many California companies, has been subject to energy efficiency requirements that long predated the law that takes effect in terms of cap and trade this week. Imagine if you're part of a large family, you're one of the children, there's a rule about how many toys you can have on your floor, and one child is extremely good about picking up their toys, and one child is extremely indifferent about picking up their toys. So in the indifferent child's room, you have a lot more toys. Now let's say a second rule comes in and says, okay, everybody has to pick up at least three more toys and put them away. Well, for the child that's been indifferent to the rule, wonderful, they got plenty of options for those three toys. There's a lot they can do to get cleaner. For the child that has been very clean, their toys may all be put away. They've got to look for something new to do, and it's harder to do when you're starting from a more efficient base.
Huh, that's interesting. So the companies that have been innovating are actually penalized here, you know, because they've come so far.
They would argue that it is harder for them. Whether or not you use the word penalize, that's a loaded word, but they would argue that it's harder for them, and they would like to get credit for what they've done already.
Felicity Barringer of the New York Times on California's new cap-and-trade law, which starts tomorrow. We mentioned Morningstar, three plants emitting 200,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide. They're getting 192,000 free allowances, so they'll buy the remaining 8,000 or so credits from the market at about $10 a ton, roughly 75,000. But as those allowances decrease, that goes up to $20 million in 7 years. So how will this play out? We'll have more in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation about California's groundbreaking law requiring many industries that emit carbon to lower emissions through a cap-and-trade system that goes into effect tomorrow. New York Times environmental reporter Felicity Barringer is with us. Now, Felicity, the law, as you just described, it does sound tough. I mean, companies do get some allowances for carbon, but then they have to buy credits from companies doing better than they are to offset their emissions. Hopefully, they'll reduce emissions as a result. And states are watching closely. But James Hansen, one of the world's most, you know, foremost climate scientists, calls California's cap-and-trade system half-assed and likely to fail because it allows for other offsets. Companies can also fund carbon reduction projects elsewhere. For example, you can get credit for planting trees in the Amazon, he says, rather than cleaning up your own operation. And you do write that officials in California are nervous about companies leaving the state or becoming less competitive with other states or China. You know, California doesn't want to destroy its own industry. So does James Hansen have a point that maybe there are too many loopholes?
Let me work backwards to James Hansen's point. First, no company can cover more than 8% of its allowance obligation with offsets. And second, no Amazon forests, at least not yet, only offset projects within the United States. These things are very different from the European program and the ones that has caused exactly the kind of problems you describe, in part because California knows that every single piece of this complicated policy machinery is being looked at up, down, and sideways. Because if they fail, the economist Robert Stavins from Harvard pointed out in an earlier article I wrote, if they fail, it's a disaster. Mm. They are supposed to be the beacon in the wilderness leading at least other regions of this country and perhaps other places in the world towards a time when there is a price on carbon and therefore the market can work in reducing carbon by making it expensive and forcing new innovations and creating new industries. This is the way the catalytic converter turned into a massive profit maker for companies like Engelhardt. It started with a California regulation on the tailpipe emissions from cars sold in the state. So getting back to Dr. Hansen's point, offsets may be part of the problem. He favors a carbon tax, another way of putting a price on carbon.
So we've been talking about cap and trade. That's this market where you can trade pollution credits. A tax is what it sounds like, a direct tax on emissions?
That's correct. A tax effectively says if you emit carbon, this will be what you have to pay for emitting this greenhouse gas or other greenhouse gases like methane. And then those costs can ripple through the economy and be passed on to consumers or not as individual businesses decide.
I just want to get back to this idea that the state of California, you know, it wants to urge along its companies. It doesn't want to punish them. And part of the thinking is that in the cap and trade, they can give more allowances to companies that might up and leave. You write about the cement industry that, you know, might up and leave, and this is called leakage. Tell us more about this problem that they are worried about, leakage, and what they're trying to do.
The term leakage is essentially, Robin, if you are doing something that is not permitted, you are a business in Massachusetts, and you have a certain amount of carbon emissions, and Massachusetts says, we are going to make you pay for those emissions, and you say, the heck with that, I'm moving to California. Global warming is a worldwide problem. If you move from Massachusetts to California and take your emissions with you, well, Massachusetts emissions are less, but overall emissions are just the same. So leakage is the term that is used to refer to these emissions that continue to go on into the atmosphere, even though they're not going on from exactly the same place.
So the more leakage, as you write, the less successful the California law will be seen to be.
Exactly. And again, everything is riding in policy circles of those who support cap and trade or support putting a price on carbon. Even some of the carbon tax people want the California system to succeed or at least not to fail for lack of an answer to very basic problems like leakage. And the California Air Resources Board, a obscure agency nationally that has tremendous power in this particular situation, that's what it's been taxed with, is get this done, get emissions reduced to 1990 levels by 2020, and do it without hurting the California economy.
Right. So if the state knows Morningstar has to stay, the tomatoes are there, they might give them less allowances, but a cement industry that might move and is facing competition from China, they might give them larger allowances so that they don't, you know, leak their emissions out of the state. Meanwhile, a lot of economists are saying what's being overlooked by the companies that are grumbling is that this new law will mean more jobs and economic activity because of the innovations that it will drive the companies to. Tell us more about that. How accepted is that thinking?
That thinking is widely accepted, but any economic predictions, you know, it's harder to predict than the weather. We certainly have had energy efficiency companies that have produced products with real promise here in California. We've had massive failures, Solyndra being the best known of them.
Mm-hmm.
So will there be new businesses created as a multi-million dollar business was created in the sales of catalytic converters? You can make a very good argument that there will be, but you don't know how fast that new market will be created, how fast companies like Morningstar will want to replace existing equipment. So you don't know exactly when the new jobs are going to come in or if they're going to come in California. I think there is a widespread belief that there will be new jobs created, but it's not clear exactly where or exactly how fast and whether they will make up for jobs potentially lost.
Well, we will start to find out because starting tomorrow, January 1st, California's new law, a sort of cap and trade on carbon emissions, goes into effect. Felicity Barringer, national environmental reporter for The New York Times, who's been watching all of this. Felicity, we'll have you back when we get a sense of what's happening.
Great. Thank you very much, Robin.
Thank you. And so that will begin the new year for people in California. By the way, we are ending, of course, the old one. And TheAtlantic.com has put together the worst columns of this past year. These are writers, many of whom can normally write circles around most of us, but maybe lost their footing once or twice. We'll link you at hereandnow.com. Back with the news.